Okay, we're going to begin here on Daf Chet Amud Aleph. We're going to go through the Sugya. Sugya has a number of Rishonim that speak about the Sugya, so we'll read through a couple lines of the Sugya, and then we'll go back and discuss what the Rishonim speak about on the Sugya. So the Daf Chet Amud Aleph, on the top of the Daf, Amar of Gidol Amarav, Minayin Shenishbayim L'Kayim Et HaMitzvah. From where do we know that you can take a Shavua to be Mekayim HaMitzvah, a Mitzvah that you're already obligated in? You can take a Shavua on top of that. Shenemar Nishbati v'akayma lishmor mishpatei tzidkecha. David Melch tells us that I took a shavua to uphold or maintain your mishpatei tzidkecha, those mishpatim that are already commanded to us. Ba'lo, the Gemara asks, ba'lo mushva v'omeid mehar Sinai. I mean, what does he need an additional shavua over here, or how can he make an additional shavua over here? He already has a shavua from Har Sinai, meaning that we're already obligated in these items, and ain't shavua chalal shavua. You can't make another shavua on top of a shavua that's already pre-exists or exists precedes the shavua that you're making. Elahakamash Milan, this teaches us the shari lei the inish the zruzei nafshe, that it's okay for a person to take such a shavua in order to encourage himself to do the mitzvot. So again, we'll come back to this in a minute to see what the Rishonim say about this. Bamar Gidol Amarav, then he makes another statement. Haomer ashkim ve'eshne perek zeh. A person says, I'll get up in the morning, I'll learn this parak, or I'll learn this masechta. Neder gadol nadar l'elokei Yisrael. He's made a great neder to Hashem. So now the Gemara asks, v'alo mushba v'omedu, right, the same question that we asked above. Isn't he already commanded to learn the Torah? And why should this neder be chal, or why should this neder take effect if he already is mushba, already has a shvua to learn Torah? That's the principle that we mentioned above, that you can't have one shvua be chal on top of another shvua, meaning that if their shvua exists for a certain item, making another shvua does not take effect, because the existing shvua is the only one that will be in effect. So what is the second statement of Gidol Amarav teaching us? Even if he's taking the shvua just simply to encourage himself or to push himself to do this, I know there are Gidol Kamaisa. That's, we already know that from the first statement of Gidol Amarav. So what's the second statement coming to teach us? Hakamash Shavalan, Kevin, the boy poter nafshe, bikriyat shma shakav arvit. Then what could be poter, or could be yosei, the mitzvah of learning with kriyat shma in the morning and in night? Therefore, he's no longer obligated in limud haTorah. So because of that, shumachi chayel shvula alei. Therefore, the shvula will work. Because now he is no longer obligated, that means he no longer has a shvua in effect, and now his new shvua will take effect. Again, we'll look in the Rishonim in a minute to see what they say about this. Now the last statement of Rav Gidol Amarav, Omer lechaveru nashkim v'nishnei perek zeh, the person says to his friend, let us get up and learn this perek. Alav lehashkim, he has to get up and do it. I mean, again, what's the question, what's the chiddush here? I mean, it seems to be from the Rishonim, again, we'll discuss this in a minute, alav lehashkim, that he has to be there first. That means that he's obligated to be there first if he tells a friend he wants to meet. There Shinemar, but Yomer Alai, this is a conversation of Chezkel and Hashem, Kum Tzei Alabika, V'shama Dever Otcha, V'etzei Alabika. And then you see that Hashem says he wants to speak to Yechezkel, he sets up a time. He says, then it says Yechezkel goes out there, V'nei Shem, Kvod Hashem Omei, Hashem was already there. So you see that when Hashem set a time for Yechezkel to be there, that Hashem was there before Yechezkel got there, similar to what we see when Gemara Brachos, by a minion, that when Hashem expects a minion to start in the morning, the time that's set, he comes to see if the minion's there, and if the minion's there, Hashem is shor shechina in that minion. If not, he leaves, and he's angered by the fact that the people are not there on time to daven into the appointed time that they set. Right, so now, the question here is, what's going on in our sugya, and what's the chiddush in the sugya? So there those that believe, maybe we'll go with the Rosh's pshat right now first, just a simple understanding of what the sugya is. The Gemara is asking, how do we know that you can take a shvua to mekayim et mitzvah? And what's the issue with taking a shvua to mekayim et mitzvah? Because possibly you're being masked your shem Hashem. When you take a shvua, you can take it with the shem Hashem. And even if you're not making a shvua with the shem Hashem, maybe we don't want you to be marked with shvuas. We don't want you making lots of shvuas. So the Gemara says that it's okay. So taking such a shvua is okay, despite the fact that we generally discourage people from taking a shvua like this. But nevertheless, in this case, we say that it's not maskir shem shem l'mayim levatala. Here, if he takes this shvua, in order to even mekayim the mitzvot, even though we generally say that let's ain't shvuah chalal shvuah. In this case, this shvuah is a valid shvuah, that it's okay to take such a shvuah, it's ruzei nafshei, in order to encourage himself to be mekayim the mitzvot. And therefore, we don't worry about the shem shaman vatala, and we don't worry about him taking too many shvuahs, and we say it's okay to take such a shvuah. Then what's the next statement of Rav? There was a ned there, but he says ashkim veshneh. So the Rosh says on that means what? That's not a real neder, because you can't take a neder, as we said, that is mushbevav and rehartina, you can't take a real neder. What? Except because a real neder, and we see this earlier in the Masechta, that a real neder, according to the Rosh, is that you be matbis v'davar asur. You have to compare it or connect it to something that's asur, and that he didn't do here. So, but it's like a neder of tzedakah. It's like a neder of tzedakah when someone commits to give tzedakah. That's considered a form of neder. And since it's considered a form of neder commitment that one has to keep, mificha, we learned that before, that he has to pay the tzedakah that he agreed to give. So therefore, we say that such a neder, right, is a valid neder, and it's a real neder. So I mean, he has to keep such a neder. Now, but even though we say in general that a neder can be chal on a mitzvah, maybe this type of neder, which is not a real neder, it's a neder of tzedakah, it's something where you've made a commitment, that shouldn't be chal on a mitzvah. So then we learn that what? That it does. It works. That's okay. That we allow someone to take such a nether, and that such a nether will take effect. Because why? Because it's in a case where there is no mitzvah, there's no shvuah preceding this. Because the mitzvah, the limud haTorah, was already discharged by saying Shkrishma Shachas in Arvit. And therefore he's okay. And now that nether is an extension. It's a new nether on something that he wasn't chayav in before. It's equivalent of nidrei tzedakah, and that works. And then the last Amar Gilm Rav comes to teachers according to the Rosh that when you make such a commitment with someone else that you have to be there first. Alav Lashkim Tchila, that you have to be there first. So that's the way the Rosh learns the Gemara. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns the Gemara a little differently. See, Tosfos that the Kamash Malon in the first Amar Gilm Rav is what the Shar the Zuzei Nafshe, that it's not a problem like the Rosh of Shem Jemesh Shem Shemaim Levatala, but it's not also a Shavua. So this is an important distinction that the Tosos makes over here, that, and this is a machlokas harishonim, when a person does take a shavuah to make mekayim et a mitzvah, now when the Gemara concludes that it's lizruzei nafshei, to encourage himself to do it, what does that mean? Does that mean that it is a shavuah and has the full force of a shavuah? That's what some of the rishonim say. But here you see in Tosos, and many of the other rishonim follow his lead, that it's not a shavuah that takes full effect. It's basically a zeruz. That's what it is. It's not a real shavuah. It's mutter to take it, even though it's not a shavua, but in the end, you're not held accountable. I mean, if you violate it, you're not over a shavua. It's bitoy. It doesn't take the full effect of a shavua. Then the Gemara comes down and now asks about neder, another little case, Yisrael. What's this? So now, it sounds like in this next thing, it says, Ashkim be'eshnet. That's what it says. Sounds like he didn't take any shavua. Now, it also says over here, no, that he did. He said the word shavua. He said that I taking a shavua, Ashkim be'eshnet, that I will get up and I will do such an item. And in that case, it's like a nether that takes effect. and therefore, again, just like shvuah, ain't no chalav shvuah, we're going to say the same thing by nether, that nether ain't nether chalav nether, and therefore it shouldn't take effect. And now, why does it take effect in our case? Because he was already discharged his obligation to learn. And since he discharged his obligation to learn, it's on something that there is no shvuah on already, or no nether on already. And therefore, this shavua takes effect because it's going on something that he's not obligated in beforehand. And then, lastly, what's the last, and therefore he would be, in this case, Tosu is going to say that it's chayiv mishum shavua to be to it. This will be a real shavua. Unlike the first statement of our Megiddo Rav, where the shavua is the zuzei nafshei, it's not the full effect of a shavua. In the second case of our Megiddo Rav, this won't be a shavua. And therefore, this will be a shavua. And therefore, if he violates the shavua, he'll be chayav, like any other shavua speed to it that he violates. Alright, now the last interpretation we're going to look at is the Ran. So the Ran also tries to explain explain the Gemara over here. So the first case in the Gemara, the best place to see that is in the Ran himself. It's down towards the end of the narrow lines in the Ran. It's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom in the narrow lines in the Ran. Umitartinan, what's the conclusion of the first statement of Amar Gilam Rab? Umitartinan, lahakamashmon, deshari le lizruze nafshe, that a person is entitled to do such a thing to encourage himself. Klomar, vadai lo itzrichai kura lomar shichalo, lagabi ba yachel. Meaning that, of course, we don't need the pasuk to teach us that such a shvuah will take effect, that if he violates the shvuah, that he's now over by Yachel, not to one who violates their word or does not keep their word. How do we know such to do such a thing is appropriate? The shabbat came at the mitzvah. If you look sherim, even sherim sheminoyim nimnoyim mishvuah, that normally do not take shvuah, nishbayim hayin b'kach, they do this. So the Iran has no question that the shvuah takes effect. Right? His only question now is whether it's appropriate to take such a shvuah, and that's what the Gemara was addressing. Amar Rav Yonah, from the pasuk we learn nishbat v'akima lishmor mishpatei tzecha, that such a shvuah is appropriate. It's a full-fledged shvuah. That we have no question about. Ah, what about the fact that people don't like to take shvuahs normally? Even in that, and even in this instance, people normally don't take shvuahs, will take shvuahs because it's considered a proper and good thing to do. Now, the next problem for the Ran is the next sugya, which is Amar Gino Rav with Ashkim Veshne. So now, the Gemara here calls it a neder. And the Ran points out that in general, we learned earlier in the Gemara on Daf Gimel, Amud Bet, right, that the distinction between, or we learned this on Bezum, that the distinction between a neder and a shvuah, that a neder refers to the chepetz, the object, and the shvuah is a chiv on the gavra, on the individual. And then there's a Gilyan Hashat, there's a very interesting Rabbi Kiva Eger on the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, who points out that you cannot formulate a neder in the positive sense. Because if it refers to the chepetz, if it refers to the object, the only way to formulate a neder is in the negative form, because you're saying, I cannot do something, or I am restricted from this chepetz. To say that you must do something, or in the positive form, in the chiyuvi form, can only be in the form of a shvuah. So therefore, in this case over here, how can our Gemara say, Ashkim Veshne, I'll get up and learn, and call it neder, and call it a neder. Here he's taking up, saying he's going to do something, it's an obligation on the gavra, and nevertheless, the Gemara calls it a neder. So the Ran says over here, similar to what we saw in the Gilyan Hashas, on Daf Dalet Amud Bet, the bottom of the Dalet Amud Bet, the Gilyan Hashas there mentions this, and the Ran here says it explicitly, that when he says, when the Gemara says neder over here, it cannot really mean neder, it means shvuah. Why? Because if you look in the wide lines in the Ran, the widest lines in the Ran, it says, komar, vada yafagab kamar neder gado shvuah kamar. Even though it says in our Gemara neder, it really must be a shvuah. Damar v'hedji a shvuah eshna perakzit, that he said the word shvuah. Shrei neder, came in shu mitzar chetzal nafshe. A neder, since you're restricting an object on yourself, leitzei le'olam be'atzei, there's no way to have it in a positive form. Ela vadai shvuah kamar, that we definitely, he said it was a shvuah, and the Gemara, he says, uses the term neder sometimes in place of shvuah. Not that it really is a neder, but rather, it's a shvuah. Now, there are other Rishonim, this the Ran mentioned also, earlier on, he mentioned this happens to be a machlokes between the Ramban, and himself, that whether you can have what's called Yad l'shvuah or Yad l'neder. When you formulate a shvuah in the lashon of a neder, does it then become a Yad l'shvuah? Can you actually have something become a shvuah by formulating it as a neder? Or the other way around, if you formulate a shvuah as a neder, or a neder as a shvuah, can it be a neder? The Ramban says yes, and this is what Tosfos mentions over here, that you can have this be a Yad. That this is really, it is a neder. And it's a yad, it's done, even though it said the word shvuah, it's a yad, the shvuah, and it becomes a yad, a neder, and it becomes a neder. The Ran doesn't say that, because the Ran believes, again, that shvuah and neder, when they're using the Gemara, they're absolute terms, and when the Gemara uses the word neder or shvuah, and it really is talking about a neder or a shvuah, meaning the opposite, that means that the Gemara is just using a lashon, and they sometimes do that. Even when they meant shvuah, they say neder, when they meant neder, they say shvuah, and this is one of the places the Ran mentions it. That here, even though the Gemara is saying the word neder, it really means shvuah. So now, what's the Kamash Malon? What's the Kamash Malon of the Gemara? The Ran points out, what? Nobody discharges their obligation to learn all day by just saying Kriyat Shema in the Shachar's Arvis. Right? You still have the requirement of Lo Yamush Torah Hashem Yipicha, or the requirement of a Shinamtam, that you have to be Shinunim, that they should be Mechudadim Beficha, that they have to be sharp in your mouth, you have to know all of Torah. So how can it be that you just discard your obligation by saying Kriyat Shema Arvit and Shacharit? So he says, the Ran says, that obviously over here that a person is chayav for a person to learn Shachayav kol adam lilmo tomid yom balayla, a person has to learn all day and all night. Kifi kocho, he does qualify the statement with kifi kocho according to his strength, meaning that possibly when he's not working or when he's not dealing with his family, not dealing with other issues, but when he has the opportunity, not resting, when he has those opportunities, he must always be learning, so therefore he cannot discharge but Kriyat Shema Arvit. And the Ran is Mechadish over here, and it's something that he mentions in other places, that when do we consider something that you can't have Shavua Chalos Shavua? That's only when something's explicitly written in the Torah. For instance, Ushach B'chov Kumecha. That's explicitly written in the Torah, and there we say Ein Shavua Chalos Shavua. Whereas other Chiyuvim, like Lo Yamush Torah Hashem Yipicha, or the Sefer Torah Zem Yipicha, or the Bishinantam, the Limud from Lishinantam, those are drushas on the Suke Doraisa, and even though they are might be Doraisa, since they're a drush and explicitly written, there we say Shvua Chal Al Shvor, and other Chal are Neder. So therefore, that's what the Ron says over here. Since he's already said Shacharit, Kriyat Shema Shacharit in Arvit, he's discharged the explicit obligation of Limud Torah, and therefore ain't Shvua Chal Al Shvua. But the drusha or the Limud Torah now for him is only obligated through a drusha. On that, a Shvua Kemen Chal. And that's the Chiddush of the second statement of Amar Gidol Amarav. That what? That he has the Shavuot Chal, and he is now Chayim Mishvua, Mitzad Shavua, to learn in excess of Kriyat Shema and Arvit, even though he is obligated in the Torah to do such. But since it comes from a Drasha, the Shavuot is Chal in this. And then the last statement of Rav Gidol Amarav about Allah the Hashkim, the Ron says, since he said Nashkim, then he says basically, since just like I'm awake now, I will be awake then. And it teaches us two things. First of all, over here, the Ron says he didn't say Lashon Shavua. He just said a Kabbalah. He just said, Nashkim Benishna, let us get up and learn. That's enough to obligate a person to go and do something. That's like Nidreit Staka. They want us to get up and do it. And number two, the second thing that it comes to teach us is that he has to get up. I mean that he has to be there. That he has to go and be there first and to be present. So just to quickly summarize our Gemara over here, just the different views of the Rishonim, the first statement of Rabbi Gilma Rav says, how can we take a Shavua the Kaim Mitzvah? Right? Because Ein Shavua Chal Shavua, the person's already obligated in these mitzvahs min Torah. So everybody agrees the answer of the Gemara is L'zuzei Nafshei, in order to encourage him or to push him to do the mitzvah. So now, two views in the Rishonim. One view in the Rishonim is that means that the Shavua is Chal, it's a regular Shavua, and the Gemara is coming to teach you that it's okay to take such a Shavua. Even though in general we discard Shavuot, that's okay to take a Shavuot. Other Rishonim believe no. That even though generally we don't allow Shavuot, in this case when you take the Shavuot, even though it's not a real Shavuot, it's just the Zruzei Nafshei, nevertheless, that is okay to take such a Shavuot to be Zruzei Nafshei, even though it doesn't take effect. Now the second statement of Amar of Gino Rav, Ashkim Veshne Perek, Zeh. So that's also again the Rishonim discuss what's the issue at hand here. There are those Rishonim believe that this is a neder, and the chiddush here is that it's like nidrei tzedakah. That person has now said something of a ficha, you've made a commitment, and therefore you have to live up to your commitment. And that's the chiddush in the second statement of Rav. Since you've now made a commitment, even now you haven't taken a shavua neder, you must live up to that commitment. Other Rishonim believe no, that the issue, like the Ron would suggest, that this is an unusual case where the commitment is coming about something that only comes from drusha doraisa, it only comes out of a drusha min haTorah, and therefore you're allowed to take. That's what the Gemara is going to teach you, that Shavua Chalo Shavua, when it's not something that's explicitly written in the Torah. Or the other Rishonim suggests that over here he also made a Shavua, and that even over here, the reason that it works is because, again, he's discharged his obligation to learn by learning Shachar Tarvis. And that's enough, and then that's enough for Limud HaTorah min haTorah. And now he's making a Shavua to extend that and do more. And that he's allowed to do. And then the last statement on Rav Rav about Nashkim and Nishneh, according to most Rishonim, that's simply an obligation on the person to be there first. According to Ron, it's a little more, because he said since the second statement was a case where he took a Shavua, the third statement for the Ron is learning out that even when a person makes a commitment, he must live up to that commitment. All right, so we'll go forward. There's a lot to say on these sugyas, a great sugya, but we'll go forward now in the Gemara. Amar Yosi Nidoh B'Chalom. What happens if they put him into Nidoy in a dream? Tzarech Yud Bnei Adam L'Hatir Lo. He needs 10 people to be Matir him. Well, which 10 people? V'hu the Tanu Hilchaso. These are people who are Tanu Hilchaso of a Matnu, of a low Tanu, but if they were Matne of a low Tanu, then Lo, doesn't work. And what's the difference between Tanu Hilchaso and Matne? So there are three interpretations in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that Hilchaso means Gemara, and Matnu is Mishnah. So those that learn Gemara is good, but those that learn Mishnah, that is not sufficient. Others learn Tanu means that they taught. They teach Torah. Not only do they learn Torah, but they teach. That's the people that you can. But a Matnu, if they simply learned, that's not enough. And then the last interpretation in the Rishonim is that the Tanu is that this is they taught Hilchasa. What's Hilchasa? Halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. They taught the halachos Mishmeres Sinai, but they didn't matnu, simply they did not learn or teach normal things or normal parts of the limud, but they gave over the Mesorah, that which is unique to the Mesorah, which is halacha the Moshe Mishinai. So now, he needs those type of people, those 10 people, vileka, if they're not available, the tanu, hilchasa, filu matnu. Right, if they're not available, those that are on the level of tanu hilchasa, like we explained, then even if they were matnu, that is sufficient. Filo tanu. Vileka, what happens if you only have those types of people? They'll go sit on the roadway, on the divisions of the roadway, on the intersection. But he'll give Shalom Aleichem to 10 people. The list, last statement of the Gemara is unclear. What it means, until 10 people who learn Hilchasa come. So now there's one of two interpretations. That means that Shalom Aleichem, he should sit there until, basically, if he sits there long enough, 10 people who learn Gemara will come there, he'll say Shalom Aleichem, and that'll be Matir the Nether for him. That'll be enough. That'll be sufficient to be Matir the Nether. See that in Rashi? And that'll be sufficient to remove the nether. Why do we need 10 people here? Because when he was put into Nidu in the Chalom, the Chalom is a form of Nevuah. It's a form of Nevuah, and therefore the Shechina was as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him into Nidu. And we know that whoever puts you in Nidu is the one who must remove it. So when we know that when you have 10 people, the Shechina is Shorah with them. Now that you have 10 people and the Shechina is Shorah, they can be Matir the Nether, because the Shechina is there, and he'll be present when they're Matir the Nether. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is that Shalom Aleichem is something that is magin, that protects a person, meaning surim. Saying Shalom Aleichem, this is a big item in the Gemara to show you that one must give Shalom Aleichem. You have to say hello to people, and you have to give a Shalom Aleichem to people, because why? It protects you, meaning surim. It protects you from bad things happening. And that's what the Gemara means here, that you should go out in the Parshat Zerachim, say Shalom Aleichem to 10 people, because that will protect you until a time is such that you'll find 10 people to come together who are Tanu Hilchoso and can be Matir the Nether for you. So it's a stopgap measure. It's not that this is the solution itself, but rather just a stopgap measure. But again, it shows the importance of giving Shalom Aleichem to other people, because it does protect you from the Yisurim. If in the dream he knows who put him into Nidui, right? Amalei So if he knows that who put him into Nidui or Shamta in the dream, can he then go to that person when he's awake and ask them to be Matir the Nether? So he answers him no, because why? Maybe he only made him into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or in the dream he was only made into a Shliach to put him into Nidui. But maybe he doesn't have the right then to remove the Nidui from him. So it's not sufficient that you know who it is that put you into Nidui. What happened in the same dream? He was put into Nidui, and they released him from that Nidui in the dream. This is a famous line in the Gemara. Shem Shiev Shah, the bar below Tevin. Just like there is no chance that you'll have the grains without Tevin, without some straw, without some bad stuff, so too, Kachiev Shah, the cholam below Dvarim Betelim. It's impossible to have a dream without something that is not real. And our assumption here, what is the problem? What's the stuff in the dream that's not real? That's the Hataras Nidui. Therefore, the person will be in Nidui, and he'll have to get a Hataras Nidui from this. Now, when a person is put into Nidui in a dream, what does that mean? Is he in Nidui or not? So that the Ron says, does he just have a status of a Menude, meaning that he's a Chal Shem Nidui on him, and therefore he'll be obligated in the Dine Menude Betzino, when he's by himself, but he won't have to publicly display or act like a menuda? Or do we say when he's put into Nidu in a dream, he's a full-fledged menuda, and therefore even he'll other people, you have to tell other people that they have to stay away from him, and they have to act like a menuda legamre. So that's the Iran says is a tzarchion, what exactly the status of this individual is when he's put into Nidu in a dream. He does mention that he thinks that the Iran himself says that if someone takes a nether, what happens if someone takes a nether in a dream? Is that nether something that's chal? So the Ran says that he feels that that's not a problem at all, and that's not a nether at all. But he says he saw in the Rashba that he saw Rashba said about someone who had a dream, made a nether in a dream, that he required him to have Hataras Nidarim, even though the Ran himself did not necessitate that. All right, so now, next case in the Gemara. It's a very interesting in the case, and again, interesting nafkamina things that come out from this dream. Ravina Avalei Najal the Bitu. Ravina had his wife had a nether, and he wanted to be Matir the Nether for his wife. So what's the case here? It must be, there are only two possibilities, because generally a husband can be Mayfair the Nether of his wife. He can remove the Nether of his wife without having a Hataras Nedarim. So we have to say it's either in a case where he was mekayim the neder, he already did not take that option to be made for the neder of his wife, or we have to say that's in a situation that's not in yonim beino leveino. Husband's only allowed to remove the nedarim when it's something between him and her. But if these are issues between other people, or it does not affect him, then he's not allowed to be made for the neder. So that's why he's coming to be matan neder. So his wife had this neder, and he went out to the kamei de Ravashi. He went to Ravashi, and he wanted to be matan the neder on behalf of his wife. Amalei, bao, mao shiyas de shliach ha-charatat ishto. Can a husband be a messenger to get the charata, to get the hataras nedarim for his wife? Amalei, so Ravashi answered him, im mechvinin, in, if they already are gathered, of the chamei already there, in, ilo, lo, but if not, not. Otherwise, not. So, Shema Minah Slat. From this, we learn three things. One, Shema Minah Baal Nasa Shliach to Charatat Ishto. Number one, a husband can be a Shliach to get Hataras Nedarim for his wife. One. Number two, Shema Minah Lo Shari Le Mishnah Nidra B'Atra D'Rabbe. One cannot be Matar Neder in the city that his Rebbe is in. Because, why wasn't Ravina Matar the Neder himself? Why did he go to his Rebbe, Ravashi? Must be that what? That you can't be matched the nether when his Rebbe's there? Shmamina, kik mechnian, shaper dami. Only when the bezin is readily available is it good, right? But if it's not readily available, we do not say this. Now, the Gemara extends two other things which are not learned from this Gemara, but shamta, filu ba'ashud rabbe. One can release a shamta even in the city of his Rebbe. The yachid mumche, shari shamta. And a yachid mumche can also release a shamta. This is not related to our case, but are mentioned here. So now we have to ask, what was the question of the Gemara over here? What was the issue? Meaning, was the question when they say that a baal, a husband, can be a shliach for his wife to be matir or neder? So, is that because the question is about a husband? Or is the question a general question about anybody? Can anybody be matir or neder as a shliach? So now, here this happens to be a machlokas arishonim. So if you look in the Rosh, in the second wide line of the Rosh, it says, there's no question, a third party could be a shliach here. About Baal, the question was about a husband, directly about a husband. Since it's difficult in his eyes with his wife's nether, maybe we should worry. He'll add on to what his wife said, because he's upset about what his wife has done, he'll actually not act as a proper shliach. He'll actually do more. He'll make it even better for her. He'll come up with reasons that she never thought of in order to remove the nether. So our question in the Gemara is, what? Do we allow the Baal to be a shliach? Anybody else could be a shliach. But do we allow the Baal, who's no Gael Badavar, to be a shliach over here? So what's the solution? Well, we said, if they're readily available, it's okay. If they're not, not. Why should that matter? Oh, because that has to do with the amount of effort that the husband is expending over here. If the husband's going to expend a lot of effort to gather together the basin to be matir neder, then he's going to even be more compelled to be matir the neder, or to come up with reasons to be matir neder may not even be true, because he went through such an effort, and he is no gabba there for his wife, he'll come up. But if they're readily available, it wasn't such an effort for him, then we say that he won't be so no gabba there, and we allow him to do it. That's where the Rosh learns. Tosfos, on the other hand, and the Bran brings a similar idea, that what? that only when it comes to a husband can they be a shliach, but not when it is anybody else. Meaning that we assume that a third party cannot be a shliach over here. And the only question is with regards to a husband. Right? What's the question with regards to a husband? So the question, if you look in the Ran, is it's the last white line on the top section of the Ran, right? That he says, the dafka baal baal hudi baylan. Our question here is simply about a husband. Vinesha baal ki ishto, because a husband can act is like his wife. I mean that we equate the two baal ishto. Baladam acher pshitu lan shein ase shliach. It's clear to us that another, a third party, cannot be a shliach. It's actually I know there before I'm matirim. Because the one who's being, when you're being matir nether, the one who's being representative has to be in front of those that are being matir nether. In a case where it's a third party, that person's not available. They're not there. They're not in front of those that are being matir the nether. Whereas where it's a baal that's coming for his wife's sake, since baal ki ishto, the baal stands in place of his wife, it's as if his wife is standing there, and therefore they could be matir nether. So what's this? What's the idea that mich vinan? So why is that the solution over here? That if they're available, then it's okay. Whereas if they're not available, then it's not okay. Why does that help us over here? Because even though ishto kugufo, we only allow a baal to do this when they're already gathered, right? But to go around and to gather, right, people, and to put it that, right, that's already too much of an effort, and it's as if you're not standing in front of them. I mean, the fact that the baal has to gather them together, that's not a good. Now, the Ram points out that Tosfos says otherwise, and says that anybody can be a shliach, and the only question is by a baal, if he's no gei abadover, but unlike the Rash, says, why is he no gei abadover? Because he might make stuff up. The Tosfos says, no, the problem is that when he's looking around for the people, he might forget some of the tainas of his wife. Since he's spending the effort to gather the people, he might forget that which his wife told him, and when he forgets what his wife told him, he's not going to be the proper, mainly it's the proper representative for his wife. And therefore, that we see the different aspects of whether it's the husband is unique over here, and that he's allowed to be act like his wife, or is the husband, what? The question is that he's worse than anybody else. Anybody else could do it. The husband's worse over here because he's no gabadover. Either according to the Rush, because he really wants this to be the matter, the nether, and therefore he'll go beyond that which is called of him. Or, on the other hand, the Tosfos says that maybe because he's expending effort, he might forget that which is wife. Since it's not, it's wife herself, then when he goes, he might forget what she told him. Now, according to the Ran, we have to raise other issues. The Ran says that you actually have to be there for the Taurus and the Darim. What happens if you have a Meturgamon? If you have an interpreter there? There the Rush says it's okay by Hataras Nedarim, because why? Because you are present. Even though the Meturgamon is speaking, nevertheless, you are there and you are present. Now the Ran also asks later on, what about if you ask for a Matur Neder through a letter? You go to a Beis Din, you send a letter asking them for Hataras Nedarim. So if you look three lines down in the widest lines of the Ran, in the middle of that line it says, V'kot of Od Rabbeinu Shimshon, Shosholeach Adam Charatat Nidro B'chtav B'Beis Din, that a person can send in writing his charata, meaning the reason for being matir neder to a Beis Din. V'hei matirim lo. V'ish Yisovar Rav Zal Shafil below Yediyas Hanoder Yochol HaChacham Lahatir, that without the knowledge of the one who took a neder, the Chacham can be matir. Kevin Shil Deash Hanoder Mecharet, because he knows he's regretting it, and he has the letter here to show that. The Hataras Chacham Ari Kefar Sabal. And when you're matir neder, it's no worse than hafara of a husband that does for his wife. When a husband nullifies the neder of his wife, she doesn't have to be present, right? And if he knows or he wants it to be that way, it's good enough. So too over here, by Taras Nedarim, we know that the individual is mitcharet. It's enough if he sends a letter, and the chacham can be matir the neder without the person being present. The real question now, what we're dealing with in the Rishonim here, is how real a din is the din of Taras Nedarim? Meaning that Hataras Nedarim has many exceptions to it. Are what we do Hataras Nedarim with Krovim, we do Hataras Nedarim with Shlosha Pshutim, we do it standing, not sitting, many exceptions. But the question is, when those exceptions come, does that make it that Hataras Nedarim is not a din at all? And therefore, everything falls away, and you don't have to be present in front of them, or you don't have to, a third party can do it, meaning, or you have a Meturgamon there, or do we say, yes, we're makil in certain aspects of Hataras Nedarim, but other aspects of the Hataras Nedarim is considered like a din. And a din will require a person to be present. A din will require, right, that we can't use a Meturgamon. So that's the question that the Rishonim are being mitlapet here about, is how much of a Hataras Nedarim is an exception to din, and it doesn't apply, it's not like a regular mishpat or a regular din, or how much is it that it's like a regular din, and therefore it will have the rules or the obligations of a regular din over here. I will point out that there is a Dayan Tosfos that mentions that he thinks that the Girsa, the Rashbam says that the Girsa should be different over here. And then what is this Sugya doing here at all? Here we have Hataras Nedarim, right? We have Hataras Nedarim here. And before we were just talking about Nidoy and Shamto. So he reviews the whole Girsa here that his wife was in Nidoy from a dream. And then he learns the Sugya that way. I just pointed out, somebody wants to look in the Tosfos to mention that the Rashbam learns the Sugya this way, in order to make it flow better in the Gemara. Otherwise, the question is, what's the Sugya doing here in the middle of the Gemara by Nidoy and Cholom? Doesn't seem to make so much sense. Seems to be almost out of place over here. And then we just said, Shamta, Filu Batri, the Rabbi. Those are the last two things that the Gemara mentions, that you can be Mishameit, a person can do it even in the words Rabbi's present, because since the Rebbe may not always be available, we want to release the person from Shamta. We don't want to have to wait till the Rebbe gets back. By a neder, you could say, well, let the person wait till the Rebbe gets back. It's usually not so pressing. But by a Shamta, that's something that we want to release right away, and therefore we allow you to do it even after the Rebbe. And Yachid Mumcha Shari Shamta, that's not to say that by a neder you can't, because also by Nedarim you can have a Yachid Mumcha do it. that a yachid mukon also works by shamta. That's what the Gemara is saying, and Rashi says it to the exclusion of nidui. No, they're going to require 10, whereas shamta is only going to require 1. All right, and then I'll point out that the Rishonim also here mentioned why couldn't it be matir neder? We said that a person, a karov, is allowed to be matir neder. So why couldn't it be matir neder for his wife over here? Why do we have to say that the problem is that it was his Rebbe, and that's why it wasn't matir neder? There's a shita of Rebbe Yehuda Negayim that says, what, a person may not be even though you're allowed to be matir neder for karov, but not for your wife. So why don't we say that's why he wasn't matir neder here, because he didn't want to be matir for his wife? So the Gemara says, well, that's not, the Rishonim give different answers. One answer is that he could have been mitzarev with other people. If he enjoins other people with him, then it's okay to do matir neder for his wife. Or he could have just asked his students to do it for him. But the fact that he waited and went to his Rebbe to ask for him shows us that you can't be matir neder in the atra that his Rebbe is there. Okay, we'll just finish off the sugya quickly. This is an agadatol. Amar Rav Shimon Bar Zvid, Amar Yitzchak Bar Tava, Amar Chia Arika, Debei Rav Acham, Rav Zera, Amar Belaz, Amar Bechanina, Amar Miashim, Ishmed, Rav Yehuda Bar Yiloy. It's a long list of people who were involved in this imra. Ma'idichtiv izarcha lechem yirei shmi. When it says in Malachi that the sun will come up for those that are fear my name, shemesh tzaka umarpeh. What does that mean? Elu b'nei adam shen yirei motzi shem shemayim levatol. These are people who do not use the name of Hashem in vain. Shemesh tzaka umarpeh. What does it mean then, the continuation of the pasuk that the sun will be tzaka umarpeh and a healing for them? Arbay shvamina chirga de yom amasi. That the dust of the day is curing. What does that mean, the dust of the day? That's when the sun breaks through to the morning, either the rays of the sun or the dust that's kicked up created when the sun pierces into the onto the horizon. That cures people. That'll give them health or cure. Now this statement is of Abayi's pliegi de Reb Shimon Lakish, because the Rishonim believes Zalmar ein gehenim l'olam haba. There's no gehenim lati lavo. Kadosh Baruch Hu motzi chama nartika. Shem takes out the sun from its place. Tzadikim mitzrafim ba. The tzadikim get cured by it. Rishayim nidonim ba. And Rishayim get judged by that sun that comes out. Shnemar. The same sukkim in Malachi. Zarech lechem yireish mi. Right? Those that are yireish mi, the sun will come out. Shemesh. Oh, adin ba. Not only do they will, right, not only will come out, but they will also enjoy it. And they will become, right? They will great enjoyment from the sun, Shinemar, the continuation of that pasuk, v'yitza'atem u'pashtem be'egle marbeik. Right? That you will go out, u'pishtem, and spread out like an egle marbeik, like a fed cow. So therefore, it will be something positive. V'atid lava, when the sun, Hashem brings out the sun, that will be positive at tzaddikim. V'ashayim nidonim bo. And the Shonim will be judged by it. There's a pasuk prior in Malachi Shinemar, hine yom ba bor ketanur. That there's a day that will come, and it will burn like an oven, and it will take away or punish all the Rishonim. So you see that from Rish Lakish, that there is no Ganim Latid Lavo, and this pasuk is talking about Latid Lavo in the future. Whereas the Bai is saying, no, this is talking about the present, and these are the people that are Yirei Shemot. These are the people that don't say the Shem Hashem Livvotala, and therefore they will be rewarded with Shemesh Tzako Umarpin. That's the connection to our sugi over here. All right, we'll stop over here.